And Alexia is going to help me share some very happy news today. When our new crew is still discovering necessary improvements in Indiana state government, it seems that every week brings a new revelation. But recently, the people who've been doing some cleanup work at PERF, the Public Employees Retirement Fund, made a couple of startling discoveries. I knew from meeting many public employees while traveling the state that PERF was in bad need of some repair. People would tell me it would take months just to get a question answered. And so we asked Dave Adams and several other new people to move in and try to make customer service and accurate records a priority. And they've done that. There's now an 800 number and a call center and a website, and these waiting times are coming down, and often questions are being answered instantly. But something else, two other things have happened that we want to share today. First, they discovered that four Indiana communities have been overfunded and have been setting aside more than is necessary for pensions, tracing to some hospitals which were turned from public to private back many years ago. And thanks to their excellent work, St. Joseph and Wells and Allen and Clay County will now receive substantial relief, ranging into the hundreds of thousands of dollars per year. So thank you for that finding, and I know that money can go to good use, lowering property taxes or otherwise paying for necessary services in those communities. And then secondly, something that I take special delight in, especially at this time of year. In cleaning up the records, Dave's crew has found that over 40,000 Hoosiers had been lost track of by the PERF system. And many of them had not heard from the system which had custody of their money for many, many years. The total amount of money in those accounts is over $116 million. Many of them run into the tens of thousands of dollars, and a very high percentage of these folks did not even know the money was there. And so we are reconnecting with these people, giving them the good news that their money is still there, and in many cases is much more than they realized if they knew it was still on there at all. And in the spirit of the season, I've asked Dave to hurry out that good news, and in some cases the checks. Now, Alexia, whose dad is here with us, if you'll let me put you down for just a minute, I'm going to give your daddy something he'll be happy about. So for Cheryl Adair, who worked for IPS many years ago, hadn't heard from PERF in a long time, tells me that she was pretty sure there was some money there, but she didn't know it was this much.
Thank you.
There's several thousand dollars that I'm sure you can put to some good use. And Sandra Littlefield, who worked for IPS for a short time, had no idea there was any money there. There's a few hundred dollars that was always yours and now is yours to use. And Chester Fan, better known as Alexia's dad, also a happy surprise this Christmas season. There's $1,200 that I know you got a good use for. Thank you. I just want to commend again the people on the cleanup crew at PERF who have brought about, first of all, excellent customer service, and secondly, some welcome good news for 40,000 of our fellow citizens who serve this state well, and for four of our communities who I know will have good use for the money they've discovered.
Are all of the books in order, Ken, first time?
Absolutely. I don't doubt there's further improvement, David, that we can always be working on. David tells me it can still take some time to get an appointment if you have a complicated question, but it no longer takes months in every case, and many questions, as most citizens are already familiar with pension systems, where you can get maybe from an automated system a quick answer to basic questions, and he's put all that in place. Actually, that's more a consequence than the cause, Eric. Here, this was more of an actuarial discovery that these individual accounts were overfunded and being overfunded on an ongoing basis, and they have consolidated what had been treated as a separate account with the other accounts relative to those counties. That's another cleanup step, but the actual discovery here was really the base, on the basis of better accounting.
Some of your handing out checks today, did they have to take these checks because the money amount that stayed in PERF and continued to be saved for retirement?
I guess it could. On the other hand, they also have the freedom, if they want to use it in other ways, or perhaps to invest it in a way they might think is more prudent.
Do we have any idea, are there people still to be announced on the account?
Well, as part of this process of identifying the 40,000, we've got an ongoing process now in place to ensure that, you know, this problem doesn't occur again in the future. One of the other things the governor talked about, you know, prior until 4 weeks ago, our only means of communicating with our customers was via mail. When that's your only way of communicating with customers, I mean, one of the keys to customer service is being able to communicate. We've now established a website, and we're communicating with all of our members, and there they can actually update their account information online, and it's an additional service to them to help ensure that this problem doesn't occur in the future.
Are there people out there that you've not been able to get a hold of? There's still money there that could go back to people that you can't find?
There are today, but we're going to look for other means to track those folks. Very similar to what you find, you know, other state agencies use unclaimed property, things of that nature. We're going to look for other means to locate these individuals. So we're not going to stop with this process. That's our commitment to our customers.
Is there ever a period of time that you could go through a certain amount where you lost that, the right to that money?
No, that money would be in there forever.
Andrew, just said, all that $116 million to be $40,000, or some retaining their account for whatever reason?
Yeah, there's a number of individuals that are retaining their accounts for pension reasons, or they'd like to continue to have the money invested with PERF. So there's no mandate to actually take a withdrawal of those funds. But again, we believe it's good customer service to locate these individuals and at least acknowledge to them that they've got money with PERF. There was a number of individuals that didn't even know that they had funds with PERF. So this is a good news from the standpoint of at least identifying that you've got dollars here, and then you can make the decision what you might like to do with those dollars.
With one exception, I did exert enough my prerogative, and Chester has promised me that at least a little of this money will be spent on Alexia this Christmas, but other than that, they're entirely free to use as they want.
We currently don't. I mean, right now we're averaging about 250 applications for withdrawals a week, but that isn't a spike over, you know, what we see traditionally. It's a little bit of an increase, but we haven't seen that, you know, of that 40,000 additional folks will take dollars out of the account. I should also state that with respect to the fund itself, those dollars have always been accounted for. It's just that we haven't been able to locate the individuals that are tied to those dollars.
The state knew about the money, but in thousands of cases, the individuals didn't, and that's a little backwards.
Any idea how many of those 40,000 are retirement age? Does that make a difference?
It would make a difference. We haven't broken that down in our analysis, because in those situations where they are retirement age, typically those folks would not want to take those dollars out, but would want to include that as part of their pension. There were a number of folks that didn't even realize that they had a pension available through PERF until we were able to identify that for them.
They were these largely people who didn't provide forwarding addresses as they moved, and then how did you locate them? Did you hire someone to come in and find these folks, or?
Yeah, for whatever reason, individuals had moved, potentially they had gotten married, changed names, things of that nature. We did use a service that we have under contract for other means. But again, in 2005, I'd like to think that if, as a financial institution, I lost touch with that financial institution, they would reach out and attempt to locate me, and that's what we did here.
Yeah, let me just say, the state in the past seems to have taken the position that it was the retiree's burden to stay in touch with the state. And if they didn't, tough luck. But that's backwards. David knows that we wanted to take the assignment ourselves to make certain that people are kept in touch with, get great service when they have a question, and that if there's money there for them, they're well worth it.
You say the money's there forever, but
I'm just calling that we're applying to everybody, so what ultimately happens to somebody that's never claimed?
Well, I guess one of the things we'll have to do is deal with that when we find it. I mean, we still are in a mission to find these individuals and don't have a situation where we have stopped that process. My impression is they continue to make contributions even after it was no longer required. I think that's part of it. And then that the extent of those contributions was not reduced commensurate with fewer employees, as these employees, you know, long ago, I believe in the 80s, in fact, in some cases, or 90s, early 90s, became private employees.
I wonder if one of the people who received checks could explain, like, how they lost touch or why they never contacted the state and their reaction when they learned the money was there.
I don't know, Chester. I do want to observe that Alexi's got excellent saving habits already because she's stashed Daddy's check in this drawer back here where he may or may not be able to retrieve it. Yeah. Chester, you want to speak?
Could you repeat that again, please?
Can you explain when you worked for the ICS and why didn't you know that there was money and what was your reaction when you heard there was?
Well, I worked for juvenile center
one?
Right.
The two ladies worked for IBS.
And I didn't, you know, I knew somewhat, but I didn't know when or where or actually when I was going to get it. And all of a sudden, you know, this was a blessing. That's from God, you know. So I just kind of don't joke.
When did you work for the juvenile center?
I worked there '96, and I did a tour of duty overseas, and I came back, moved, and came back, and I started back working there again in '03
and
'05.
Sandra, your service was even longer ago, I believe.
It was in '96.
Oh, in '96 and
'97. Mm-hmm.
I went through a name change and a couple of moves, but I knew the money was there. I just neglected to get it. And PERF did find me.
All right.
And I moved a couple times, and they found me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The honest answer is they want to be in a right-to-work state. We did absolutely everything that we could do, and I think they tell you that. I spoke a couple of times to myself, to the CEO, and other leadership. We made an offer that I believe was competitive in every other respect. They do like Indiana, and they had a good experience with the workforce, but this was a criterion they had that was beyond our power, obviously, to change.
And have they, turned down your offer?
Well, I'm not certain if this should be treated as final or not, but sounds like from Eric's question that some official announcement's been made. We've been continuing to work hard on this and try to do all those things we could do.
And in that conference with me, Commissioner Sharp said that 559
is that's pretty much what I've said for a long time, that I think that to get a project this size done, we're going to have to do something different. And I think that not only should include tolls, but also we want to at least look at the possibility of involving a private partner to help us do it in the what is becoming the modern way of building major projects like this. But I feel very good about the progress of our major moves initiative. I spent all that yesterday across the north and advocating it, answering questions about it. This is the jobs vote of a generation in the Indiana General Assembly. And really, if you're for 69, if you're for 31, if you're for Fort DePort, if you're for the Gary Airport, if you're for the Ohio River Bridges and hundreds of other projects, you'll be for this bill and vice versa.
The finances total doesn't have So are you saying I can take longer to get started, or that?
Everything will take longer. If for some reason we were not successful with this initiative, at least half the projects on the books won't happen in any reasonable time frame. People who want to take a position of reflexive opposition need to start explaining which half they don't care about. But I'm much more optimistic than that. I think that the opportunity to create over 100,000 jobs and to not only build these projects, but build them in a accelerated fashion is a huge economic opportunity for this state that people in both parties and all over Indiana are going to want to seize.
So you're going to have these companies to lease in Indiana?
Not at all. I think going overseas, as we did to Japan in August, and trying to retrieve American dollars that have flowed there is a high priority. And bring them back here to put Hoosiers to work is a very high priority for this administration. I'm glad Toyota's coming to, going to come to Lafayette with more jobs. I'm glad Aishin grew over Terre Haute. And if we are able to bring literally billions of dollars back home, put Hoosiers to work in this fashion, you bet I'm going to try to do it. I will point out that we have no way of knowing there are American firms also in the bidding at this point.
Governor, on the Lumina Foundation grant that your office received to study higher education, what is the timeline for that and what
are you going to have to ask Dave Shane that question in terms of time. I don't know. We're very grateful for their support, but I don't know if a firm timeline has been established yet.
Governor, the coal legislative option there today, mm-hmm. If you guys have any information on how many people bid and whether they were higher than anticipated?
I didn't know what to expect. It's probably a little higher than I guessed. I think they're over $70,000, and that's, I don't know, that's 1/7 of the way home to the whole estimate of what this might contribute to the financing costs. But my sense is it's been a fun thing for those who participated, maybe for some folks watching, and it's just what it is, but I think it's provided a little extra fun in a season of great fun for Colts fans.
I understand that there's a lot of state interest in this, and if you can only buy one of the license plates, if the car is registered in Indiana, and it's all being given, maybe just selling Indiana license plates.
Anything I can do to bring an out-of-state dollar to Indiana, I'm for. We might take that up, you know. I hate to miss a chance to grab a few out-of-state dollars, even if it meant we had to confer an honorary plate on somebody.
What's your reaction to the decision by Brian Bosman and Attorney General to appeal the career rule? Do you think that should be appealed?
It's their decision, and they're within their rights.
Governor, the U.S. House has been addressing the Medicaid situation, has passed some cuts to TANF and child support fund enforcement and food stamps. That wasn't what the National Governors Association wanted Congress to do in tackling this. What kind of impact did those cuts, should they make it through conference committee, what kind of impact did they have on Indiana's budget?
I understand probably as well as anybody the difficulties the federal government has managing within its means. And so I'm probably less critical than most. I think we will operate here in Indiana within those rules, and I think we'll do fine. We found enormous savings within the Medicaid system. I think we're going to find enormous savings within the rest of the welfare system as it was being run in Indiana. Indiana is the only state in America where welfare rolls went up in recent years and not down. We think there are enormous potential reforms that we'll be working on in 06. So I do hope that with other governors that we'll be given more flexibility. I think to me that's the key issue as opposed to an extra couple percent here or there in terms of dollars. If states like Indiana have the flexibility to run these programs, we can serve more people per dollar and that would be my strongest point of advocacy.
Governor, on Monday, the City Council voted on a gay rights ordinance. Do you see any improvement in state law on that front?
I think that this is a an apt topic for local control, a little bit like smoking ordinances. I think that each community ought to make these kind of decisions for itself. I've taken a long-time position with regard to employment under my supervision, but this I don't support at this stage the state stepping in and ordering communities on a matter as sensitive as this one.
Yeah, in Brownsburg, you got an announcement, I think, about 500 new jobs there. What kind of jobs are there?
You know, I don't have all the details, but I did hear the number, and the site pleased about it. It's consistent with pretty good growth we've had in central Indiana. You know, my point once again is do not be, particularly in this city, not be misled by relative strength of Indianapolis metro area. My first concern really is with small towns, places like Gary, where we went yesterday to deliver the first check for the RDA that we hope will uplift that area. This state will not be successful economically while any significant part of it is falling behind, and so we're really happy for Brownsburg, but our thoughts remain with the parts of Indiana as well.
Can you talk about any particular government that came out of the matching fund?
Well, the answer is yes, a lot. You know, in honesty, I've been to a lot of conferences, public and private, that weren't very valuable. This one I was in that category, I think it was. Each of the 14 states has something to teach the others. In our case, I know that it's very likely that other states will probably soon be opening dedicated meth units resembling the one we innovated here in Indiana to try to keep prisoners from recycling through the system. In our case, we heard some pretty good advice about everything from locks on anhydrous and anhydrous tanks to nuances of the law that controls cold medicines. That's just from the hours that I was there. I'm sure those who were there for the whole conference would have a longer list. But this is a problem. This was a really important meeting for two reasons. One, it's a problem that affects each of the 14 states, and we all had something to teach, and we all had a lot to learn. Secondly, as came up repeatedly, this is a problem that cannot be entirely controlled by one state, because it, like pollution of all kinds, like epidemics of all kinds, it doesn't respect an invisible border. And so we stomp down hard on production here, but Ohio has then became a source of meth and ingredients. So that's why I think it was really important to have the meeting. I'm glad they asked Indiana to host it, and we'll try to certainly to act on the lessons we learned from our sister states.
Jody, you have a lot of leadership during your campaign. Mm-hmm. Do you have any specific
Well, I think that what I'm most excited about is that our small business tax incentive takes effect January 1st, and I want to make sure that people in small business recognize it and do avail themselves of it. Secondly, I'm going to be supporting telecommunications law that I think would have a lot to do with strengthening small business. Telecommunications is a great equalizer when used effectively. It allows smaller enterprises to connect to the world and to customers elsewhere, and I want Indiana to be a leader in that respect. And of course, the new programs at IEDC, and we have new leadership over there, aimed at the 21st Century Fund, getting more value out of that. That's going to be directed more at small business, ramping up our nearly last in America position regarding the small business innovation grants. Big point of emphasis for the year ahead.
Governor, some not so bright fiscal news this week.
Mm-hmm. It's consistent with things we've been saying for some time, that revenue is no better, and now maybe a tick below expectations. This is apart from our amnesty program. It means that we're still going to achieve balance. And I think before the two-year cycle is over, But we're going to have to do it mainly on the spending side. And fortunately, we're having great success there. Dave Adams and the people of PERF are not the only reformers. And at all in state government, we've been saving a lot of money. So it's a cautionary note that there's not going to be some miraculous windfall that balances our books for us. Well, I'll refer you to Chuck Chalio for an exact number, but the 7% I think is something that most of the agencies are going to be able to hit. And again, this doesn't necessarily, this only sets the floor and not the ceiling for savings. There have been some spectacular accomplishments at FSSA, which is one of the bigger accounts, at Corrections, which is one of the bigger accounts. As you know, individual reforms in places like that have saved $10 million or more. So the job of getting this state back in the black is going to take large steps and small. And we're doing everything we can to see that no tax dollar is spent unnecessarily or unwisely, and despite the fact that revenue is growing more slowly than we might have hoped, we'll still get there.
Do you have any more tax items to use?
Not quite, but I expect we can put some sort of a ribbon on that one next week, and I'll just say it's well in excess of $200 million.
Governor, do you feel that your administration is too close with the soybean producers? Matt Summit, the buses to the Miami Correctional Facility were paid for by the soybean producers, and a state employee played a video promoting biodiesel on the bus ride to the prison. Do you think that's a conflict of interest? Maybe they're too cozy with your administration?
I think it'd be a default of our duty if we didn't promote biodiesel. It's going to be a big part of Indiana's economic recovery. This is the most pro-agriculture administration, and probably in the lifetime of anybody present. I make no apology for it. Soy diesel is just a part of it, but it absolutely is a pillar of the Indiana economy. We're proud of it, and we don't advantage any one firm over any other. But in terms of an industry, I'm a promoter of the soybean industry, the corn industry, the steel industry, the auto industry. Our growing life sciences industry, I think that's fully consistent with our duty, and you'll probably see more of it.
Do you know, did your administration ask the producers to pay for this, or did they make the offer on their own?
I honestly don't know. I didn't know that, but knowing no more than you just said, it sounds to me like an act of citizenship, and again, it doesn't, as far as I can tell, advantage one firm over another.
Governor, as a candidate, you have been forthcoming in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. The money obviously isn't there in the upcoming session for that big expense, but is that still on your agenda at some point, and when do you think Indiana might be able to get there?
It absolutely is on my agenda. I've made the point in teeing up our dollars to the classroom proposal, that with just a 1.5% reduction in overhead statewide, you'd have enough money to pay for this. So I do believe it is within our reach, and sooner rather than later. My hope is that this and other reforms and enhancements of our education system can be part of the next budget cycle after we get back to balance, get in the black, and do have some discretionary room for growth. Well, I want to get over and see what Alexia has drawn over there, so I think I'll draw this to a close. Thank you very much.
Thank you.